Clean water for drinking, bathing, and growing food is one of the most precious commodities on the planet. You constantly read in the news about how we're running out of oil and energy, how these resources can only last another 20 to 30 years. But the simple fact is, that's 20 to 30 years longer than we have for water. In many parts of the world, lack of clean water is the biggest problem facing huge numbers of people. China, for example, is currently running a water deficit equivalent to 7 times the water usage of the entire state of California. In the next few years, that deficit will triple. Already, the Yellow River, one of the most important rivers in China, is so low in water that it failed to reach the ocean on 226 days in 1997. Why is water so important? Quite simply, it's essential for life. And the sad fact is, most people just don't get enough. The vast majority of people living in the industrial world, even where water is abundant, are dehydrated. As Dr. Batman Gelage says in his book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water, in advanced societies, thinking that tea, coffee, alcohol, soda pop, or other forms of manufactured beverages are desirable substitutes for the purely natural water needs of the daily stressed body is a common but potentially deadly mistake. Water is the solvent in our bodies, and as such, it regulates all the function of our bodies, including the action of all the solids dissolved in the water. In fact, every function of the body is monitored and pegged to the efficient flow of water. Think for a moment of just a few of the functions that water regulates in our bodies. It controls the movement of blood, the transport of nutrients into our cells, the movement of waste out of our cells, the flow of lymph fluid, the movement of nerve impulses through our nerves, the movement of hormones throughout our bodies, and the functioning of our brains. If we were to become dehydrated, all of these functions and 1,000 more would be impaired. And in point of fact, that's exactly what's happened to the vast majority of us. Over time, as we become increasingly dehydrated, our thirst mechanism has gradually failed, which leads to even more dehydration. And it's worth noting that even when our thirst mechanism is functioning properly, it's not a reliable indicator of our dehydration, since thirst is one of the last symptoms of dehydration to manifest. Symptoms of chronic dehydration include allergies, asthma, chronic pains, constipation, acidosis, dry skin, and the shrinking of internal organs and thinning of skin associated with aging, to name just a few. We need to consume between 64 and 96 ounces of pure water a day. Pure fresh fruit and vegetable juices, not bottled or canned, may be substituted for some of this quantity, as may limited quantities of non-diuretic herbal teas without sugar. In general, however, pure water is the key. But the problem of water is not only one of quantity, it is also one of quality. When you look at the big picture, state and federal authorities have done a remarkable job in providing clean water for the country as a whole. Waterborne epidemics such as cholera are almost unheard of in the United States. On the other hand, acknowledging what has been accomplished does not mean that we should close our eyes to the problems that do exist. Keep in mind that the MCLs, that's maximum contamination levels, that water districts so proudly adhere to, merely represent a compromise standard designed to be economically feasible for water districts to meet. They in no way come close to the safety standards established by the U.S. government's Safe Water Drinking Act. On average, drinking water in the United States currently contains over 2,100 toxic chemicals that are known to cause cancer, cell mutation, and nervous disorders. This is not particularly surprising considering that there are close to 100,000 chemicals now in everyday use, with over 1,000 new ones being added each year. In fact, according to the EPA, U.S. industries generate some 79 million pounds of toxic waste each year that is not disposed of properly. What is probably more surprising to most people, though, is the fact that according to the EPA, 53 million Americans unknowingly drink tap water that is polluted by feces, radiation, or other contaminants. Also, according to the EPA, some 45 million people drink water contaminated with the parasite Cryptosporidium that killed more than 100 people in Milwaukee in 1993, or that over half of all Americans drink water that has been used at least once before. Actually, I wouldn't recommend thinking about that particular statistic too long if you have any tendency toward a weak stomach. Anyway, according to an ABC News special, U.S. industries generate some 88 million pounds of toxic waste a year, 90% of which the EPA estimates is improperly disposed of and makes its way into our water supplies. With close to 100,000 chemicals in use, and with the introduction of 1,000 new ones each year, it's impossible for treatment plants to keep up. Each year, at least 400,000 cases of illness that we know of are attributed to contaminated water. With all due respect for the great job that all of the water departments in all of the states and cities do, you still don't want to be drinking tap water. It may not kill you immediately, but as sure as the sun rises in the morning, it will compromise your health over time. The bottom line is that you really need to be drinking filtered or distilled water. Tap water, well water, and bottled water are all suspect. And yes, if you're on the road and you're thirsty, picking up some bottled water at a 7-Eleven is probably a better alternative than drinking the water from some fountain or buying some coffee or soda. Anyway, now let's talk about chlorine. Chlorine is the primary disinfectant used to purify drinking water. Let me make it absolutely clear that I'm not advocating eliminating chlorine from the purification process. That would be stupid. Chlorination controls many waterborne diseases, including typhoid fever, cholera, and dysentery. When chlorination was stopped in Peru, for instance, there was a cholera epidemic of 300,000 cases. However, it should be understood that chlorine is one of the most toxic substances known. It does everything from drying your skin and destroying your hair to wiping out the beneficial bacteria in your colon. Two, the byproducts of chlorination, such as chloroform, dichloroacetic acid, and MX, which are found in drinking water, are all proven carcinogens. And then, according to the U.S. Council on Environmental Quality, the cancer risk among people drinking chlorinated water is 93% higher than among those whose water does not contain chlorine. There is a higher incidence of cancer of the esophagus, rectum, breast, and larynx, and a higher incidence of Hodgkin's disease among those drinking chlorinated water. In addition, chlorine has been strongly implicated as a major factor in the onset of atherosclerosis and its resulting heart attacks and strokes. And finally, by the same mechanisms that chlorine narrows blood vessels that feed the heart, it also narrows the blood vessels that feed the brain. Consequently, chlorine has been implicated as a major factor in the onset of senility. There's no question but that the use of chlorine in drinking water has helped stop the spread of many virulent waterborne diseases. On the other hand, there's also no question but that chlorine in our drinking water presents us with some serious long-term health implications. The bottom line on chlorine is that it pretty much needs to remain as part of our city's water purification process, but that means that you need to remove it from your water at your house. As it turns out, it's not enough just to worry about the water you drink. The water you bathe and shower with is equally, if not more, important. The bottom line is that you absorb more chlorine through your skin in a 15-minute hot shower than you do by drinking 8 glasses of that same water throughout the day. Actually, when you shower, you absorb more chlorine through your lungs in the form of vapor produced by the small droplets of hot water than you even do through your skin. Just for fun, stop by your local swimming pool supply store and pick up a chlorine test kit. Fill a glass with some of your local tap water and test it with your kit. The water will change color according to how much chlorine that there is in the water. Now fill up another glass with water from the tap. This time, soak your hand in the water for 60 seconds before testing. Notice how the water shows no chlorine. In just 60 seconds, you've absorbed all the chlorine in the water into your body through your hand. The absorption factor is that dramatic. And women should take special note. Breast tissue is the most absorbent tissue in the body. Soak your breast in the same water, and it will clean out all of the chlorine in just 20 seconds. As a side note, in general, the younger you are, the more absorbent your skin is, and the more chlorine you'll suck out of the water. This is not necessarily something senior citizens should take pride in. All it means is that the largest organ in your body, your skin, is barely doing its job as a transport medium for fluids and gases as you get older. Anyway, the trick is, you need to protect yourself from chlorine in the water. Okay, moving on, and at the risk of being accused of being a Luddite, let's take a look at the use of fluoride in our drinking water. What exactly is fluoridation? In fact, all water contains some fluoride. Fluoridation is the process of adjusting the level of fluoride in the water supply to theoretically protect against tooth decay. This concentration varies from 0.7 to 1.2 parts per million. Now, while it's true that organic fluoride itself is present naturally in soil, water, plants, and many foods, tea, for example, is an extremely high source of fluoride, even when made with unfluoridated water. The fact is that the industrial fluoride used in water fluoridation is a chemical byproduct. In other words, it's toxic waste. American industry loves water fluoridation. Instead of having to pay for the disposal of a toxic waste product, they now get paid by cities for selling them the same toxic waste. It's probably no surprise that the producers of fluoride byproducts are the biggest proponents and backers of water fluoridation. But that's beside the point. If it works, then where it comes from doesn't really matter. So, does it work? Well, that's a question of more than some debate. There's no question that since fluoridation began, the incidence of dental caries has gone down significantly in the United States. Score one for water fluoridation. But hold on a second. It's gone down throughout the country, even in states that don't fluoridate their water. In fact, There's no good statistical evidence that fluoride, either in your water or your toothpaste, makes one iota of difference in terms of dental health. All of the improvement in dental health that we've seen in the United States can easily be attributed to better dental hygiene, brushing and flossing, not fluoridation. In fact, as New Zealand's former chief dental health officer, Joel Kukuin, a one-time proponent of fluoridation, said, when any unfluoridated area is compared with a fluoridated area with a similar income level, the percentage of children who are free of dental decay is consistently higher in the unfluoridated area. Which brings us to a key question, is fluoridation safe? Well, to be fair, community water fluoridation is supported by the U.S. Public Health Service. Now, I do have to mention that at the same time, they're pushing for a reduction in a daily fluoride intake. Now, that's a curious position, to say the least. Anyway, it's all supported by the American Dental Association, the American Heart Association, and the American Cancer Society, the National Academy of Sciences, and the American Medical Association. By the way, I have to mention the American Medical Association, curiously enough, also repeatedly publishes articles in the Journal of the American Medical Association proving the dangers of fluoride. No joke. On one hand, they tell you to use it, and the other hand, they tell you that it's dangerous and shouldn't be used. Anyway, on the other side, the devastating toxic effects of fluoride are well documented by mainstream organizations such as, well, I've already mentioned, numerous articles have appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine and the Journal of the American Medical Association challenging the safety of fluoridation. The National Institute of Environmental and Health Sciences has shown that fluoride causes cancer. Scientists at the Environmental Protection Agency have come out against fluoridation because they have confirmed that it does not reduce tooth decay and that there is clear evidence that fluoride causes cancer. The Pasteur Institute in France, the Nobel Institute in Sweden have caused fluoride to be banned in France and Sweden respectively because the health risks from using fluoride far outweigh any possible benefit. And fluoridation is also banned in Finland, Holland, Chile, and Japan, among other countries. The bottom line is that fluoride is a potent toxin that accumulates in the body about 50% a day for adults and 75% a day for children. It's used as a pesticide for roaches, ants, and rats. Each exposure stays in your body and adds to the accumulated levels. And that's the key. We're constantly being exposed to high levels of fluoride other than in our water. It's in our toothpaste. And just as a side note, fluoride toothpaste can double the level of fluoride in the blood within 5 minutes of being used, just from the amount absorbed through the cheeks and gums. Fluoride is also sprayed on our food. Apples and grapes are particularly high in fluoride for this reason. Fluoride is present in pharmaceutical drugs, ranging from birth control pills to antibiotics, and it's in soda pop, which is manufactured from fluoridated water. Once you look at the scope of the problem, you realize that there's no way in the world to determine what your fluoride intake is, but it's pretty much for sure far higher than is healthy. And health problems that have been associated with fluoride include destruction of the immune system, up to a 39% increase in various cancers with an astounding 80% increase in rectal cancer, genetic changes both in sperm and other cells, dramatic increases in heart-related deaths, chronic fatigue, gastrointestinal disturbances, increase in infant mortality, skin rashes after bathing, miscarriages, dizziness, vision problems including blindness, mottled teeth, and the one that really ticks me off, brittle bones. Because one of the claims for fluoride is that it helps build bones, and that claim is so deliberately misrepresentative of the truth that it borders on the criminal. Yes, while it's true that there are studies that confirm that fluoride builds thicker bones, it is a gross misrepresentation to cite those studies without also mentioning that fluoride makes bones more brittle. And in fact, there are numerous studies that have appeared in the Journal of the American Medical Association that show a significant increase in hip fractures in areas with fluoridated water. In addition, the New England Journal of Medicine reported that fluoride treatment of osteoporosis patients resulted in higher hip fracture rates. And on top of everything else, it's also well established that fluoride is an extremely potent enzyme inhibitor. The bottom line is, what freaking right does anyone have to force such a potentially toxic substance into your drinking water for no proven benefit? There now are at least 10 studies that prove that as fluoride intake goes up, so does tooth decay. At least with toothpaste, you have a choice to buy a non-fluoride brand. Oh yes, I almost forgot. The aluminum fluoride connection. New research has revealed that fluoride in drinking water makes the aluminum that we ingest more bioavailable. In the presence of fluoride, more aluminum crosses the blood-brain barrier and is deposited in the brain. As was reported in Brain Research, the bottom line is that the combination of aluminum and fluoride causes the same pathological changes in brain tissue that are found in Alzheimer's patients. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that aluminum fluoride is the cause of Alzheimer's. All I'm saying is that it might be prudent to limit your exposure until more is known. But enough about fluoride. There's another issue that I want to talk about, and that's water bioavailability. Although all water consists of the same basic H2O molecules, water nevertheless varies according to how these molecules bond together to form water molecule groups or clusters. To put it simply, it is in the size of these groupings that water differs. The smaller the groupings, the more bioavailable the water is, the more easily it is able to pass through cell walls to circulate through your body as a whole. What holds water molecules together in those groups or clusters is surface tension. This is what you see when you wash your car and the water beads up in droplets on the hood. When washing your car, you use detergent to break the surface tension, which makes the water wetter and better able to clean. Obviously, you can't use detergent to improve the bioavailability of your drinking water, but you can use magnetics. Magnetizing your drinking water breaks its surface tension, making it wetter and more usable by your body. In addition, there's a strong secondary benefit. Applying a magnetic field to water raises its pH. This is of vital importance, as we'll learn in our next talk. So in the end, what am I specifically recommending? Well, first, you need to treat the water that comes into your house to remove the chlorine, fluorine, chemical residues, heavy metals, bacteria, parasites, etc. in your drinking water. And you need to remove all of these toxins not only in the tap where you drink, but also where you bathe and shower. So how do you do it? Well, you really have four choices. One, you can get a system for the entire house that treats the water where it enters your house. This is obviously the most expensive way to answer the problem, but if you actually get a good system that removes all of the toxins, it's the best way to go. Number two, there's no question that a good water distiller will provide the cleanest water you can get. But you need to be sure it incorporates a charcoal filter, since toxins like chlorine vaporize and recondense along with the water you're trying to clean. When using distilled water, there's one other question you have to consider. Distilled water, by definition, has no mineral content. For years, there's been much debate as to whether that's good or bad. Distillerites claim that demineralized water is more natural, like rainwater and glacier water, and that minerals in the water end up in your joints. The argument against distillers is that most animals drink water that has come in contact with the ground and acquired a high mineral content. Prime examples are the high mineral water of the Hunzas and the coral calcium water of the islands off Okinawa, two areas renowned for the age and health of their inhabitants. As for me, I don't think it matters, provided that if you do drink distilled water, you need to make sure your diet and supplements provide an abundant supply of minerals. And as for the question of mineral-laden water leading to joint deposits, studies have proven that the calcium which deposits in your joints comes from inside your body, leached from your own bones because of too much acid in the diet. Anyway, enough about distillers. Reverse osmosis is another option. Reverse osmosis units produce a good quality drinking water. The problem I have with them is they waste a huge amount of water, many gallons of waste for each gallon of usable water. I'm not really sure that's justifiable nowadays with the looming water shortage we face. Which leaves water filters. Personally, I think a good water filter is probably your best bet, but keep in mind that it will cost you more than $29.95 or even $100. To find one that will truly remove all of the bad stuff while leaving in the beneficial minerals, a good multi-stage water filter direct from the manufacturer will cost you upwards of $250 to $300. Now, my second recommendation is that you need to drink 8 to 12 glasses of pure water a day. Again, coffee and sodas do not count and, in fact, actually work to dehydrate your body. Another recommendation is that when possible, use glass to hold your water, not plastic. Absolutely avoid drinking water that has a strong plastic smell or taste. I also recommend that you apply a magnetic field to your water for at least 20 minutes, depending on how large your bottle is. You can either glue a bunch of disc magnets, North Pole facing in, to the outside of your water pitcher, or you can sit your bottle on top of a huge magnetic pad. And finally, if you're not using a central home purification system, remember to get a good shower filter to remove the chlorine from the water you shower in. Understand that the filter is on the shower, not the bath. The bath water, unless you fill the tub from the shower, will still be toxic. Well, that concludes part 10 of the Take Back Your Health series. In part 11, we'll talk about liver and blood detoxification. Our liver is the primary filter of our bodies. Over time, we so abuse it and so overtax it that illness is the inevitable result. And as for blood detoxification, we have to keep in mind that our blood is filled with many impurities, including everything from an overabundance of artificial fats to toxic heavy metals. These must be removed for optimum health, and we'll cover how to do both of these things in our next talk.